So let's do a few little exercises in series called Mindful Glimpses. And so the key is that, the book I wrote has these kind of five shifts or five levels of mind or five untying of five knots, really, in some ways, because we're not creating anything. We're like untying this habit and then recognizing there's already this awareness here. So we untie that knot. So the five levels of mind that we're shifting through are like everyday mind, which is this point of view, this center, ego center. And then we shift. The second shift is what most spiritual practices do, what most psychologies do, most self-improvement programs do, which is either to shift into subtle mind or subtle body. So subtle mind is mindful witness that observes contents of consciousness, becomes an observer, and subtle body is doing practices like qigong, yoga, chanting, mantra. So either way, you're moving a half step up or down, but you're still in kind of this subtle body, subtle mind system. You've gotten some relief from the chattering mind you get some stress management, but 5 minutes or 5 hours after, and you return to this kind of calmer center of ego that then starts to say, oh, but what about this? Aren't you worried about that? Remember last time this happened? And then you're back in this organizing center. So those are the first levels that people go to, this point of view mindful witness, or if we were to do, and the reason is they're trying to get you relief from being organizing in this anxious, neurotic center. Yeah, does that make sense? Most practices you do, even walking in nature, dancing, you drop into the body and dancing. If we were all to just do one om, we'll drop from listening to me, and then we'll breathe in, and then just go, So that is a way to create the stronger vibration of the body over the vibration of thought, and then your awareness follows. Right? So you feel a little relief from the thought-based mind, and some people tend to like to go through subtle body, and others like more meditation is more of a subtle mind, where you use one point to observe your breath to calm your mind, and then kind of create a mindful witness to observe the contents of consciousness within. Yeah? So then the third level is the one we're more interested in, which is spacious awareness or subtle awareness that is called pure awareness or awake awareness or nature of mind or source of mind that you can be aware from. So this is kind of what the more advanced practices teach, or what naturally happens if you do Vipassana for long periods of time. So I had gone on a fellowship to Sri Lanka and done 5-day retreats, 10-day, 21-day retreat, and studied in the university there, Vipassana, Theravada Buddhism, insight meditation, and felt it was very beneficial, enjoyed it. And I went up to North India and met the Dalai Lama, who was just about to give this talk in France on Dzogchen, which is a kind of a direct path teaching, non-dual teaching. And he was all excited, so I put my hand up and I said, where and who should I go study with? And he said, there's a guy in Nepal, Tulku Urgyen Rinpoche. Off I went, sat in this hut after climbing up this mountain, just about 10 or 12 of us, gave a little talk, and then gave this 3-minute shift of awareness that is pretty much what we're doing. And then I felt the same way as I did at the end of a long day, a long retreat in 3 minutes. So that's why I became interested in this is already here. I didn't have to build my way to it. I didn't have to meditate. I didn't have to calm my mind through effortful practices or long time of doing nothing, sitting quietly. It's already here. This was the premise. So the principle of it is this awareness that's identified. We discover this spacious awareness, and then the spacious awareness is what energy and thought and feeling are made of. So there's this embodied presence, and then we operate from more of this heart mind, which is almost like we've dropped to this boundless heart, is now connecting to this heart mind, which connects to your tender human heart, but isn't the same as your emotional heart. It's this heart space that seems to be what is the culmination of living an awake life. It's more wisdom mind, is more compassionate intelligence. Yeah? So what we're going to play with is having awareness unhook and recognize itself, unhook and drop and know your body and your heart space from within, know it from the spacious awareness and come back and feel like you untie this knot, untie this knot, untie this knot, untie this knot, and then, feel like you're home. Yeah? How's that sound? Give it a try. So let's play with moving awareness. Yeah? So we'll say something about that the studies have shown that when we do one-pointed attention, watching your breath, you calm your mind by continually reapplying attention. Your mind wanders and comes back. And that what they discovered is that it's actually your default mode network of your brain that alternates looking in and then looks out every few seconds. So when you try to concentrate, your mind's naturally going to go out, in, and go out, go in. And when you do one-pointed attention, you repress the internal dimension of that that alternating circuit, and you put on the task mode network, the external, and so you have a calm state, like a deep sleep, and it gives stress relief. But you can't live from there because it's only half of your life. You need your internal life. When you do this awareness-based meditation, which we're going to learn, you're aware from both outside and inside. You're aware of your breath, but you're aware of what's going on in the room. Then your default mode network and your task mode network balance. And you feel this seamless, interconnected, supportive field of flow. So this is the support from the neuroscience. And I was one of the guinea pigs for an experiment like this at NYU, where I went in the fMRI and showed how the default mode and the task mode could balance by doing this, which we're going to learn. So we're going to play with, instead of creating a strong center, we're going to unhook awareness and have it move and know directly from within, from our heart space, from our hand, from awareness outside. So let's just discover, first of all, maybe we'll turn this off for a second while we do this. Should we turn this off? And then we'll turn it on at the break. Yeah. So it's a different awareness-based system than attention. So if you just look at your hand, look at your one of your hands, usually your non-dominant hand is best, whatever that is, and then just bring your attention to your hand, focus your attention on your hand, notice that you're able to focus on a certain object, certain distance away, shape, size, color, and then feel that ability to focus in one area. And now, just as you're able to notice the object, now bring your awareness to the subject. Where are you focusing from? Feel the location of what you're focusing on. Now feel the location of where you're focusing from. And feel the connection or the communication between the two. So, what do you notice when you feel? Where are you focusing from? Yeah, everyone pretty much here. Middle of the head. Subject, object, subject, object, subject, object, right? This is the attention, attending from the focuser, focusing on your hand. Yeah, if you feel like, if you can feel the focuser, which you're not used to doing, or used to focusing, and you may never have actually noticed that in your life. What do you mean, where am I focusing from? I'm focusing from me. Well, where are you? Where does it feel like? What do you mean, feel like? It's me. I'm focusing. Well, feel it. It's like, oh, there it is. It's an organized, felt sense of the attender or the focuser that's actually made of the small mind, which is moving, and it just forms a little pattern, and then it does a little job, and then it moves. So there's nobody actually there. It just is, which is why the word sati for mindfulness is remembering, because you forget, and then you remember. You forget, and then you remember. You forget, and you remember, because you're the Webster definition of attention is applying the mind to something. So you're applying the small mind, the small self, to something. And then do the same thing without using your eyes. Just put your hand down, and same thing. Use your attention from a felt sense, just attending to your non-dominant hand. Bring your attention to that felt sense the same way you would to your breath. We could be doing this with our breath, but we'll just do it with your hand. And again, feel that you're able to focus on one area and just beginning to feel this attentional system, this mindful attending to one area. It brings some relief. It brings gives a simple task to the mind rather than letting it wander. Yeah? And that's why it gives you that calming. Gives you a calm feeling. So what does it feel like now? Are you able to be aware of that without looking? The felt sense of your hand, and then again, notice where are you? Where is the feeling coming to? Where are you focusing from? So again, the same feeling, right? If you can feel still the same head area, yeah? And it's almost like a telephone call is being made up, like goes up the nerve endings to the tender and goes down again. Yeah? That feel good? Now simply bring that awareness to the focuser and thank the focuser, the meditator, or the mindful witness for all its hard work in doing this attentional meditation. And then simply feel as if awareness, which is identified with that focuser, can step back and be aware of space. And now you're aware of the focuser as an object from this awareness. And what was the observer is now the observed. And now feel as if that awareness, which is aware of the observer, can drop and know your smile and your jaw directly from within your jaw. So the knowing and the known are happening from the same location. And feel as if awareness can move itself and be aware of your throat from within your throat, feeling the space, the aliveness, effervescence, and awareness directly from within. And then feel as if that globe of awareness, that knowing awareness, can drop and become aware of your shoulder from within your shoulder, so that you don't have to go back up to thought to check whether you're knowing directly. You don't have to stretch attention down, that you feel like the awareness and know your shoulder, the space, and the aliveness within. And then feel as if that awareness can drop and know your bicep from within your bicep, and then move to know your elbow and the space within your elbow directly from within, and feel that awareness move down your forearm, be aware of your wrist from within your wrist, and then feel as if awareness can directly know your hand from within your hand. So notice the awareness can know the feeling of your hand directly without using an image, and it can feel the space all around, and the information from the hand can go to the awake space all around and within. It doesn't have to come back up to a point in your head. Just feel like the knowing is directly happening from the new location. So the subject and object are more open, and direct perception is happening. So what do you notice? What does your hand feel like when you feel your hand directly from your awake, aware intelligence? What's the unique difference? Yeah, but where are you? Yeah. Yeah. But does it have to be known up here? Or can it be known directly from the intelligence within your hand? Yeah. Anyone feel like they're aware of the space and aware from the space and aware from the hand of the hand? There's moments, yeah. Yeah. How many people have that kind of moments? And how many people feel like they've kind of relocated to that area? Yeah. Okay, so this is the kind of the first beginning, and again, a glimpse is a glimpse, so it is a moment of a new orientation, and the other habit is so strong, it's like a magnet, it's a rubber band or a magnet, it pulls you right back, and that's, you know, that's normal, that's the norm. So, yeah.
Just a quick question. So, it's almost like, if you didn't identify that it was a hand, I wouldn't have known that it was a hand.
That's right, because there's no image.
Right, exactly. Okay, I was curious about that.
Yeah, there's just space, mostly, and then areas of tingling. And then if your hand is touching something, there could be pressure. If it's not, if it's hanging in the air, and then maybe a little gravity, a little heat, a little cold, but a little weight. Mainly space, then tingling, no image, and then direct perception, the intelligence just goes to the field of awareness. So probably won't in this day long have time to go, but basically this is the basis of the technique of what I call the non-dual pain relief method. So you literally, I mean, when I wrote my first book, I would have, you know, like hundreds of people write that just by doing these methods, the chronic pain would go from like a 8 to 2. So then I kind of created this way of taking the operator of the pain signal that comes to the head and keeps calling, going, check this out, check this out, check this out. Take the awareness down right into the area where you might have like inflamed nerves like arthritis, and have the awareness look that there's no knife in your hand so that the call goes to voicemail and doesn't have to come keep calling, and it just goes to the field of awareness and pain just goes down like that. So thoughts go into the background and pain signals go into the background. And if you hit your hand against something, you'll know it, and you're not numbing, it's not numbed out, it just becomes a low level feeling at level 2 rather than 8. It doesn't call. It just feels like a little arthritis, there's a little inflammation. And, yeah. So this is quite extraordinary that physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, identity pain are all kind of addressed by this.